Why do we exist? Were we created with a purpose? Or are we just here by chance? What are we to believe about life, faith, and worldview? Welcome to The Universe Next Door, focusing on answers to the questions we all consider. The Universe Next Door is supported by the C.S. Lewis Society, Trinity College of Florida, and supported by gifts from listeners just like you. Discover more resources and continue the conversation at apologetics.org. And now, your host, the research professor of Bible and theology at Trinity College of Florida, author and speaker, Dr. Tom Woodward.
Welcome to The Universe Next Door, and thank you for joining us here today. Before we get into the thick of what we'll be talking about, I wanted to mention that our website, apologetics.org, is an awesome place to go for videos, for articles, for information on apologetics. We actually have our very own seminar that we had produced with very big names, very helpful speakers and teachers such as John Lennox and Stephen Meyer. So check that out on apologetics.org, and you can also find us on Facebook. Just type in the C.S. Lewis Society, and you will find our Facebook page, and let us know what you think. So Dr. Woodward, our normal host, is still out of town, and he will be for a little bit. So we have with us Mike Burhau, who is an awesome teacher and an awesome apologist. Check out our last podcast we did where Mike Burhau talked about his testimony and sort of about his, would you say that you were an atheist or would you say that you were an agnostic when you were younger?
I think the best way, so during my high school years, I was probably more agnostic, though I didn't know the term at the time, but mm-hmm. I just didn't believe in God. And one of the things I would say to when I would have conversations with Christians is I would say, if you give me evidence or reasons to believe in God, then I'll believe. But until I see the evidence, it's more reasonable to just not believe, to lack mm-hmm. belief is the way I would explain it. And so I would say that was more of a agnostic position, but it wasn't a 50-50 agnostic position. It was, I was leaning towards atheism. And again, I never use those terms, but it was just kind of the obvious thing to not believe in God until somebody gave me clear evidence.
Mm-hmm. And I would say I was probably in a similar boat. And I actually even, I looked into a lot of things that I would have considered quote-unquote spiritual mm-hmm. in things that I think would have worked. There's a passage in Proverbs, actually, that says, "He who is hungry loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry soul, even every bitter thing is sweet." And so I look at that, it's like when you're spiritually fulfilled, when you know Christ and you know not only on a logical level but obviously on an experiential level as well, you are fulfilled. You're no longer searching for all these quote-unquote spiritual things to sort of fill the void. But to those who don't know, which was me at that time, almost anything sounds appealing. Almost anything sounds sweet at that point. It's kind of like when you're starving and if you had nothing to eat for 3 weeks, I mean, you'd probably eat literally anything you found that could be eaten. So I found myself in that position. But I know that we were talking, and you had an interesting quote from Richard Dawkins. For those of you who have not heard of Richard Dawkins, he is a very famed atheist. He's probably among the most famous over the last, I don't know, 40 years or so. Yeah. And he's over in London. But we were kind of wrestling with the topic, is atheism just a lack of belief? And this is a topic that on this show I think is important to discuss, because sometimes even if we sort of have thought about these things or wrestled with them, first of all, most of us haven't had these things just figured out. But second of all, even if you kind of do have an argument that you've thought about, sometimes when somebody asks one of these questions, you all of a sudden freeze up and you forget everything that you've learned. And so I think this show can be helpful for sort of giving us a place to go back to defend our position and to kind of put the other person on the defensive and make them answer some questions as well. So Mike, is atheism just a lack of belief?
Well, yeah, that's the thing that I was wrestling with. I mean, even after I became a Christian, that has been the big question that I've wrestled with early on in my Christian faith. And I wouldn't say it's something that I wrestle with anymore. I think I've come to some solid conclusions on the question. But maybe just to start off, for the audience who doesn't know why this is an important question, maybe I can read a quote from Richard Dawkins that I think clarifies the issue really well, and then we'll just have a discussion from there. But I was first introduced to this idea, again, when I was in high school. It was Bertrand Russell who introduced me to the idea that people who are making positive claims, positive belief claims, they're the ones who have the burden of proof to demonstrate that their belief claims are true. And for Bertrand Russell, he applied this to somebody who claims that God exists. If you say that God exists, then you have the burden of proof to demonstrate that it's reasonable to believe in God. And if you can't do it, then by default, somebody who's not a theist, an atheist, is somebody who just lacks belief. And if you just lack belief, then you have no burden of proof to demonstrate that your lack of belief is more reasonable, because you're not claiming anything. At least that's what Russell was saying. When I got to college, I actually had become a Christian, but I never really dealt with that objection until I got to, it was maybe my junior or senior year of college, I read Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, and he spelled out very clearly what this objection really is. And actually, the quote I'm going to be reading from is a more recent book by Richard Dawkins called Outgrowing God. But some of these ideas go back to his more famous book, The God Delusion. And in his book, Outgrowing God, he asks the question, do you believe in God? Which God? Thousands of gods have been worshipped throughout the world and throughout history. Polytheists believe in lots of gods all at the same time. And so he brings up specific gods. There's Wonton, there's Zeus, there's Thor, there's Mithras, there's Baal. And so you can think of all the different gods that have been worshipped throughout history, the golden calf, the flying spaghetti monster. And so when Dawkins brings up all of these gods, he says, just as you are an atheist when it comes to all of these gods who have been worshipped throughout history, I'm an atheist when it comes to your God. In other words, an atheist is somebody who just goes one God further than any theist. Now, the force of this argument, at least as I understood the force of the argument, was just as you don't lose sleep if you don't come up with a persuasive argument against the existence of Thor, so Dawkins says he doesn't lose sleep when it comes to lacking belief in Yahweh. He doesn't need to come up with an argument against the existence of Yahweh. He's justified in just lacking belief until somebody gives him positive evidence for Yahweh. So that's the force of the question. And maybe I'll just start with maybe seeing what are your thoughts about the question, and then we can kind of go into coming up with some responses to it. But
yeah, right. Well, as you pointed out, both from Dawkins and Bertrand Russell, they're kind of assuming the position that atheism is just a lack of belief.
Correct.
And so, I mean, if I were asked this question from, I don't know, a student or a skeptic, or maybe somebody just in a discussion, a friend or family member, you know, the first thing I would do is kind of turn the burden of proof back on them. I would say, what do you mean exactly? I'd have them explain their position on what they mean that atheism is a lack of belief, because atheism means pretty much to deny God or to deny theos. Yeah. And so I would have them explain what exactly they mean by their position is just a lack of belief, and what do they believe.
Yeah.
And I think a road that you inevitably will probably end up going down is the road of Darwinism. Mm. And Darwinism is called the theory of evolution. It is not called the fact of evolution.
Right.
And one thing that I really found helpful about discussing this sort of topic is to ask them, for example, you know, can you tell me something about evolution that is true? Can you tell me something about atheism that is factual? Because if you can't, then that's also a belief.
Yeah, yeah.
And not that beliefs can't be factual, but it's an actual belief that's not grounded in fact.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really good. And in fact, the person who helped me see the point that you're making right now was the philosopher Alvin Plantinga. So I thought he, I mean, if you ever read Plantinga before, he's always makes points, I think, in very humorous ways. But he says to to Dawkins, he says, when Dawkins says that atheism is just a lack of belief, and that the word "a" an atheist just means a lack of belief in theism, he says he's not actually providing anything to the discussion, because to complete play this lack of belief game, the theist can say, well, I'm actually just an atheist. I just lack belief in atheism. And when you do that, you're not really adding anything to the discussion, because at the end of the day, you're always believing in something.
It's just semantics.
It's just semantics at the end of the day. And so I think it's important to clarify, what is it that Dawkins is actually claiming to believe in? And obviously, Darwinian evolution is part of his worldview. But I think even more fundamentally, if you're going to be an atheist, if you even want to use the term lack belief in theism, then I think one of the things that Dawkins doesn't do well here is he doesn't define properly what theism actually is. So when he brings up examples like Zeus, Thor, and Dionysus, or any of these other deities that he's bringing up, he's really talking about gods that are in principle limited beings. So Zeus is not the transcendent one who brought into existence the heavens and the earth. He's not the one responsible for bringing time, space, matter, and energy into existence. If someone like Zeus were to exist, Zeus by definition would exist inside of the space-time universe. Whereas when we're talking about theism, we're really talking about a worldview. And specifically, we're talking about a mind-first worldview that prime reality is God. God is the one who cannot not exist, and this God brings a universe into existence. He brings in time, space, matter, and energy into existence, which means that the God of the Bible is outside of time, space, matter, and energy. And so I think that's the first place to start, is when we're talking about theism, we're really talking about this God. And so if you're not a theist, then you have to have another explanation for what brought the universe into existence. And the non-theist position would have to be something like something outside of time, space, matter, and energy brought the universe into existence, but that thing isn't God. That thing is impersonal. So one of the things I like to clarify in this discussion is the non-theist or the atheist position has to be a commitment to some sort of ultimate impersonality. And there's a physicist, Lawrence Krauss, who just defines this as nothing. He wrote a book called The Universe from Nothing. So nothing is the explanation for the universe. The universe came out of nothing. Well, that
sounds like a belief.
Well, and that's a belief claim, exactly. And so it's not just a mere lack of belief. You have some claim for what is ultimately real. And so either it's the naturalist claim or it's something similar to that, but it's not just a lack of belief.
No, right. And really, they would have to express their belief for everything, for the origin of life, which there is absolutely not a shred of idea of how life came about without God. I mean, nobody could explain that.
Right.
Even when somebody, they'll make it kind of sound simple and say, well, you know, it started with a single-celled organism. But a right. single-celled organism needs almost 500 genes just to be viable.
Right.
And so a lot of this stuff isn't really well-known in the mainstream community of people kind of just maybe finding arguments on YouTube or from some Dawkins books that, in my opinion, for such an intelligent guy, are very poorly put together.
Right.
Especially when it comes to anything relating to religion. But I would also focus on, well, sort of, you said that we're not talking about the same God. You're not properly defining theism because, as actually Jordan Peterson pointed out and as C.S. Lewis pointed out, among many others, we're talking about a historical claim as well. Jesus Christ existed as a human being, and there is really no serious historian or archaeologists or so on and so forth who would disagree with the claim that Jesus at least existed as a person.
Right.
And so Jesus of Nazareth walked the earth. So at the very least, we know that these claims are based off of a real existing person. Something actually happened in history.
Right.
And of course, we can talk about this in a different episode, but, you know, starting with the resurrection or something like that, you know, we're, as Dawkins said, we're actually, I would disagree with him, we're not basing anything on what we can't know. Me as a Christian, when I became a believer from skepticism, I became a believer based on what I did know. It wasn't just a leap of faith, so to speak. I actually think that term can sometimes be poorly used. But it was really a leap into faith based on the evidence that was presented to me throughout Scripture and throughout believers who I think defended the Bible properly. So there are a lot of angles you can go, but you're right. He poorly defines theism in this quote, among others.
Yep. Yeah, and I think, you know, what you're bringing up here is the when you do start looking at the evidence in the universe, it does seem like there's something outside of blind physical forces that are governing everything. So if you look at just the beginning of the universe, the fine-tuning of the universe, as you mentioned, the origin of life, but even you get into the specifics of the evidence for the resurrection, I think there's overwhelming evidence, not just for the existence of a generic theism, but even evidence for Christian theism, that there is, that the God of the Bible is the one who brings the universe into existence. And I think the resurrection is a great place to go to look at the specific claims for Christianity. So, and so even if we took the lack of belief claim seriously, which I don't think we should, we still can put forward a lot of good evidence for the theist position, and that's something I think that's important to point out in this discussion.
Yeah, right. I was watching a debate with William Lane Craig. For those of you who don't know, William Lane Craig he's probably one of my favorite debaters, and he was having a debate with an atheist, and this atheist was kind of trying to play with him. He was using semantics and sarcasm a little bit, and, you know, Craig had laid out the argument that God, as you had said earlier, is timeless. He is a personal being. He is not composed of matter. And so the atheist starts kind of trying to be sarcastic and saying, well, I believe God I believe that the world started with a computer. And, you know, Craig said, well, no, because a computer takes time to function. That's not possible. He says, well, no, this is a very, very special computer. And he says, well, the computers still matter. He says, no, this is a special type of computer. It's not any of that. And then finally he says, well, the computer you're talking about is essentially God.
Right.
You've just given him a different name because right. You've robbed it of all the attributes that make it a computer. And really, that's what I think we see atheism have to resort to very often, because we know just by our own natural being that if somebody walks up to another person and slaps them in the face for no reason, we know inherently that is wrong. And you know, Dawkins would say that we're just dancing to our DNA. It's just blind, pitiless indifference. There is no right and wrong necessarily. But he knows inherently that he would disagree with that if somebody came and stole his laptop, or right before he finished his book, somebody stole his book and published it with their own name. I mean, he would know that is right and wrong, and that's a topic we can get into for a very long time, morality. But these things are inherent, and so they're having to, really, what they call lack of belief, they do have a belief for all these things. They just refuse to call it God.
Right. And this is why it's so important to define terms. I've watched that clip with William Lane Craig that you mentioned, and I think he brilliantly points out that they're just playing on terms. It's a semantic argument that they're making with no real substance. When he's joking that a supercomputer outside of time, space, matter, and energy with no physical qualities is the one who brought the universe into existence, he's just using the term supercomputer for God. I think that was a brilliant point. And then once you clarify what the definition of theism is, then you can really show that the opposite of theism, and really what Dawkins is arguing for, if you read through his book, The Blind Watchmaker, or even through The God Delusion, or any of his other books, The Selfish Gene, he's actually presenting a naturalist worldview. That's the positive belief claim that he asserts. And then we can point out that there are significant, you've already pointed out the problem with morality that a naturalist has, but there are deep, deep problems with naturalism. And one of the things that I like to say is that when somebody brings up a criticism against Christianity, I think we should welcome all the critique we can get. And sometimes there are questions that we have that are very difficult to answer, But I've heard my pastor say recently that I prefer the questions that Christians have as opposed to the questions that the naturalist has, because the questions that the naturalists have to answer are way more difficult and way more fundamental than the questions that Christians have to answer. For example, if you're a naturalist, where do moral values come from? Or what I think is even deeper, where do our ability to reason come from? There's actually a famous quote from Charles Darwin. He's writing this to a guy named William Graham. And this is sometimes called Darwin's doubt. I don't know if you've heard this quote before, but Darwin, in this letter, he wrote that the horrid doubt always arises whether the conviction of man's mind, which has been developed from the mind of lower animals, are of any value or at all trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Would anyone trust the convictions of a monkey's mind, if there are any convictions in such a mind? Now, the reason why this was a problem for Darwin is if the universe is governed according to unguided physical forces, then all of my thoughts and convictions right now are governed by those same forces. And so let's just pretend for a moment that you and I are having a disagreement. You don't believe in God, I do believe in God. If we start asking, where do our convictions come from? I may say that my convictions are based upon good arguments and good evidence, but still, the reason why I think that, the reason why I feel that, is because the synaptic firings of my brain, which are governed by unguided physical forces, are causing me to think that. And if you disagree, the same physical forces are causing you to have a completely different conviction. And so why would we trust any of those convictions at all? This is the problem that I don't think the Richard Dawkins of the world can actually answer. If the evolutionary process that he believes in is governed by naturalistic forces, then there's no good reason for him to believe in evolution whatsoever. Just like there's no reason for him to believe in naturalism or atheism. It's a completely self-defeating position.
Right, and at the very least, you know, if we're just stardust fizzing at different frequencies, I mean, ultimately nothing matters, not even the discussion that we're having about atheism or a discussion with an atheist. Right. And that really extends to everything. There is no right and wrong. There is no purpose. And a lot of people, I think, have kind of struggled with this and had to suffer with it as a result. But we have about a little less than 1 minute left. What is your final suggestion to the believer who is wrestling with this, or maybe who is engaged in an ongoing discussion with somebody?
So I think the first thing I would say is make sure that you understand what you mean when you say that you believe in God. So I think one of the reasons why I struggled with this for such a long time is because I didn't grasp the basic attributes of God. And I think as Christians, Jesus says that eternal life is that we know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom God sent. And so we should be studying the nature and character of God. And it was really when I started studying the nature and character of God that I realized that this objection is actually pretty hollow. And so I would say get to know the God of Scripture, get to know the attributes of God, because when we know and worship the one true God, some of these objections just don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And we will continue this discussion next week. I cannot wait. Mike Berhau, thank you once again for being here. And thank you for listening to The Universe Next Door.
You've been listening to The Universe Next Door with Dr. Tom Woodward, sponsored by the C.S. Lewis Society and Trinity College of Florida, and supported through the gifts of listeners just like you. To gather resources, continue the conversation, and support The Universe Next Door with your financial gifts, go to apologetics.org. That's apologetics.org. And join us again next time as we continue to seek the truth about life, faith, and worldview in The Universe Next Door.